Hi, everyone. Welcome to Yachting International Radio. I'm your host, Gabriella, on Diversity in Yachting. And today, my guest is Joey Neely. Welcome to the show.
How's it going?
So far, so good. Thank you for joining me today. I'm super excited to hear what you have to say. So let's introduce you to the viewers and just give us a rundown of like where you're from, what brought you to yachting, you know, good old stuff.
Cool. Well, I'm originally from Atlanta, so raised there in a military family. Kind of moved all over, so I'm kind of used to just being all over the place and not really settled down in one place for too long. I got into yachting when I was in D.C. I moved to D.C. with my ex-boyfriend. I worked like right on the wharf where we had like all like the houseboats. Also, all the yachts came through there as well. And then an old friend of mine, Bobo, he bumped into me at a restaurant I was working at. And he's like, "Oh my God, Joey, like, good to see you." I was like, "This is crazy. Like, how are you here right now?" He owns like an old vintage yacht, invited me on. And like, that's when I kind of like got to see like what it was like. I had no idea like what a crew was. I had no idea like that was even a thing. So it was like my first kind of insight into the whole yachting world. And then after that, I was like, well, I'm over restaurants. I need to get into something that like makes me happier. I want to travel. I want to earn more money, like kind of like save for the future. Mm-hmm. That kind of is, you know, what started that.
So you were invited on as a guest. So fancy.
Yeah.
And
it was cute.
So I'm like, excuse me. So and did you notice the crew when you got on board? Were you like, wait, who are they? And like, what are they getting paid for this? Or were you just like,
right,
what is going on?
So he had two crew. I met the mate. I didn't see the captain. He was probably, you know, just because they were docked. So the captain was probably like, you know, doing his own thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't really talk to the mate as much as I talked to Baba, who owns the boat. Okay. So he kind of told me like what he did and like what the tasks were. It just seemed like something that I wanted to do. Like I wouldn't be like every day would be different. So that was something that like attracted me to the industry.
Yeah. Yeah. So
not so mundane.
Absolutely. So you were working in hospitality in the restaurant industry for how
long? In a restaurant. So I'm 30. So I started when I was 18. So that's 12 years. But I spent the past year and a half in yachting. So I probably left when I was like 28, 29.
Okay.
Pretty much my entire 20s were just spent in restaurants, but I went to school for marketing. So I'm like thinking that I'm going to go into like the corporate world and then realize that like, I'm not that girl. Like, I do not want to be at a desk all day.
Absolutely not. So, that's super boring. So after you got the rundown, how did you find information about how to enter the industry, about courses, mm-hmm. and like, because it's a long process to just get in, right? And a large investment. So what did you do to prepare? How did you do more research to see, is this something I really want to do? Like, so what was the process like?
I forgot what the site was called, but it was about like, so I wanted to be on the interior, and there was that site where it's like, how to become like a yacht stewardess. I think like all the girls read that.
I have.
Yeah. So like she has her own like book too. So like I read that and then, kind of looked through like all the crew houses, went to a crew house that I wasn't really like a big fan of, but like in her book, she said, it was like, it's the Hilton of crew houses. And it was not, it was very like, I'm not going to talk, you know, bad about this woman, but it was very, like, not a cute experience.
But she also wrote that book, like, a real long time ago. Like, you're talking about, like, Julie Perry.
Oh, yeah.
So I read the book, too. I read all the blogs. I went to the yacht pages and researched all of the crew houses that were listed there. So I'm sure when she stayed at some of these houses, they were, like, newer.
That's probably way better,
in the 90s, you know? But, I've stayed at a couple that I'm, like, how is this even still standing? Like,
right.
Yeah. But it's
a she was very informative. So I really do appreciate that.
Yeah. So you read all the books and absorbed all of the information and you went to Fort Lauderdale, right?
Yeah. In September of 2019. So I got my SCCW then. And then I had like a little bit of money saved up. So I'm like, okay, I'll just stay here. Be at this weird crew house and kind of start looking for work. But I'm so used to getting jobs like very quickly. So it was like a culture shock to like not be getting what I'm used to, like right off of the bat. So I kind of like took a step back, went back to live with my ex-boyfriend at the time we were together, but to save up more money. And I came back in January 2020.
Okay.
To start looking like, you know, again.
And this was before you knew COVID was going to...
Fully. Mess everything up.
Mess everything up. Yeah. Okay, so by this time when you went back, did you have any dock walking experience, or did you get any temporary gigs before you went back to save money and then come back again?
So I didn't like have anything lined up, and I also didn't want to dock walk because I don't know, like maybe I should have, but I just didn't. But I got some jobs like pretty quick. Like the first boat I worked on was like a day work gig. It was like a 110 meter. So like my first like job was like this giant boat. I'm like, oh my God, like what is this?
Yeah.
But that was amazing. It was like a 12 day gig, and it was for a Super Bowl party.
Oh, wow.
So that was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, once you got the ball rolling, then it kind of just goes from there, right? Because you're meeting people and, you know, you're getting some confidence. You know what you're doing a little bit. So when did you get your first proper, like, liveaboard?
That was in March. So I got my first permanent job after doing, like, 2 months of day work. And I'm like, finally, like, I got my first permanent job. Like, this is amazing. It's a good salary. Like, I'm happy with it. And then I'm working for, like, almost 4 weeks. And then COVID hits. And I'm like, fuck. Again. So, I had to go move back with, you know, the guy that I was dating, and then spend like a month or two there. But the captain was like, yeah, you know, unfortunately we have to like send you home, but we are going to hire you back. Let's see like what happens. Cause like no one knew what was going to happen with COVID. So then like 3 weeks later, he's like, oh, actually we're just going to shut down the entire program. So I'm like, great.
So starting back over again. It happened to everybody. Yeah. I was in Fort Lauderdale in March. So I was about to start my first gig, and so Friday accepted. What the? I thought that was a spider.
Oh my God.
Did you see my face? I almost just died.
Yeah.
So like on a Friday, it was the Friday of like spring break and St. Patrick's Day. I accepted my first gig. That Monday, I said, never mind, because I was freaking out, and I flew back to California. So like, everyone in my crew house was getting fired or load or trying to get back to their countries before the borders closed. And it was just a frenzy. So I know I was, I was right there with you when that was going down. Mm-hmm. So
it was wild.
This is like a topic I haven't discussed on diversity in yachting yet. And I'm really excited to speak to you because I speak about it with my gay friends that work in the industry that are on the low, but it's not something I've ever like really read about. Maybe I saw one article that talks about the lack of diversity, and then at the very bottom it says, yeah, and then there's no gay people. And I'm like, all right.
Right. That's
something I've been meaning to talk about. So I don't know if you've always been out or out and proud, or is this, did you ease your way?
It's hard to hide.
Yeah, I guess. But you know, some people are just assumed to be straight, you know, and then it would be kind of rude to ask as well. So it's just like, it's not really that you're hiding it, but it's like, you don't randomly like get a job with a coworker and say, by the way, I'm straight. It's like, you know, like, why would that come up at work? But I have read that some yachting environments can be really homophobic. And I've heard some people tell me their experiences. So I want to know if that ever crossed your mind before getting into yachting as a crew member, and what, like, did it ever, you know, scare you? Like, maybe I shouldn't, or did you hear bad things about it, or how has your experience been?
Yeah. So coming into the industry, I wasn't aware that it would be so problematic with just being someone different than like what the majority is, because, you know, we're in like 2020, like 2021, like, okay, we're moving along with, you know,
progression,
accepting people, like, but we're also like, you know, people, it makes no sense. But what I realized is coming into yachting, it does feel like 100 years behind everything else going on, especially with like just being, I mean, I hate to even say like tolerant of things. It's just like, this is who I am. Like, you should be accepting of this without it even being like a topic of discussion. But I mean, like, I have been in places where I'm literally on the job and like bigger boats, smaller boats, it doesn't really matter. Like, you know, the deck team will just like freely say the F word. I'm just like, okay, like I'm literally right here. And even if I wasn't here, this is not okay. Like, and the fact that no one else is saying anything, I feel awkward because I'm just like, I'm not going to sit here and like make myself look crazy, putting you in your place because of a word that's offending me. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel good.
Because then when everyone has a collective narrow mindset, the one person that does step up for everyone, everyone ends up turning on that one person and making them look like the crazy person. It's like this weird, like, bullying kind of gaslighting situation where it's like, oh, well, let's be careful what we say around him or her now. Like, they're so sensitive. And it's like you get dismissed, you get labeled as sensitive or problematic. And then so you're kind of scared into speaking up about what's right. Because now work's going to be awkward. If people don't go, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, you're right, I'll work on that. And instead, you know, victimize you or single you out, then it makes everything uncomfortable. So have you ever said anything?
So moving forward, like when I got onto like, you know, certain jobs that lasted a little bit longer, whether it's like temporary or permanent. I will bring it up, but I'll bring it up in a way where it's like not meant to be like an argument or a fight. Just like, hey, like this is, you know, maybe you shouldn't say this. Maybe you shouldn't like talk about this in that way. And, you know, just being gay in the industry is just like one aspect of it. Like I've seen things where like they won't hire a girl because she's like thicker or, you know, because she's black, or like things like that where you see it behind the scenes. But it's just like, if that's what your, you know, leader is saying, well, one, like for right now, like I'm trying to like get through this and get a job. And like, this might not be my permanent job, but like, how do I educate this person without making myself look like I'm thinking that they're an idiot?
Yeah.
Like, you're my leader. Why do I have to like sit here and educate you?
Oh, wow.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. I think that there's a lot of leadership missing. Yes, there's the rank and the hierarchy, but there's a lot of leadership and leading that's just like not there yet, especially if your leader is kind of traditional, old school, or just not like kind of ignorant maybe in certain areas, and they've been able to live that way because yachting is a bubble and you're around a lot of like-minded people. So our industry encourages growth within your position, but not, you know, growth in your personhood, really.
Right.
So a leader should be the one to lay down the law, like, we will not tolerate any, you know, xenophobia, homophobia, racism on this boat. And then it's a trickle down effect. But if that's not starting at the top, then how are you going to tell your superior, like, hey, don't say that. I'm standing right here and it offends me, without you maybe getting retaliated against.
Right.
Right.
And also, like, even if I wasn't there, you shouldn't be saying that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And, you know, I interviewed this guy last week, Juno, who said that people say things around him. He's black. About black people, and he's like, excuse me, and they're like, oh, well, you're not really black, or you're half black.
Oh,
or
fully, yeah.
You never get like, well, you don't look gay, or you're not really that gay, or whatever.
You're
like,
not gay.
It's you're like, not what gay, does that even gay.
Mean? Yeah.
I can relate to that one because I'm bi, I'm bisexual, so I feel like I get left out a lot because people think I'm just, it's a phase, or I'm just experimenting, and I'm not really in it, so it's like, okay, well, I guess I just don't count. I'm biracial and bisexual. Damn it. There's nowhere for me.
Right. And it's still your truth. So it's like, no one can take that from you.
Yeah. So have you ever been in a position where someone didn't want to share a cabin with you because they knew you were gay, or maybe you felt like you're being picked on or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've not gotten jobs because of it. Like, I'll take the temp gig. They like me. Like, I'm going to be the deck stew. But there's one person that always felt weird around me. Like, they wouldn't outwardly say it, but it's like how they looked at me, like how I felt around them. Like, they were so nice to everybody else. When it came to me, they just acted completely different. And yeah, like, that would have been the person I would have been sharing a cabin with. So it's like, I didn't get that full-time job. and maybe it's just like my experience, like how I felt in that moment. But yeah, I probably didn't get that job because he didn't want to like stay with me. You know what I mean? It's easier to find someone that like fits in with the entire group than like me being that, like, you know, making someone uncomfortable. But like, again, you're making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know,
it's obviously I won't ever understand it. I try to empathize as much as I possibly can, but like, you know, especially some of us that have been through adversity or we are different, we tend to be able to empathize with people differently. And I even feel like I give people excuses sometimes where I'm like, well, maybe they grew up in a small town, or maybe right. their parents were racist, or maybe it's like, we're always giving people passes and trying to meet them halfway, but it's like, sometimes you don't get the same in return.
Right.
Which is kind
like
of,
like, you have to be calm, cool, and collected, but they don't have to.
Exactly. And you have to watch what you say and watch your body language, but they don't have to. They can just do and say whatever they want. And it's right. It makes your job a little bit harder, right? Because not only are you trying to actually perform, and if you're on the interior, right. keep a smile on, but then you're also thinking about all these other things, like obstacles, right. and not just focusing on your job at hand like everyone else can, you know? Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been in jobs where, like, I was on time or early, stayed on, like, the latest. And there were people that would, like, show up late, barely work, like, leave early. And then they're getting, like, praised. And the moment, like, I make one mistake, even if it's out of my control, I'm, like, punished for it. I'm like, what is happening? Like, you are seeing this person fail every day. And they're just getting, you know, a free pass every single day. It's like, what is that about?
See, I always notice things like that because I was in the military at one point. I was in the army.
Yeah.
And there was only like 5 girls in my company of 120 people. And I just felt like I tried to lay low, but I was getting so much attention all the time. And it was mostly negative because, you know, I was always getting stare at someone else. Maybe you wouldn't catch me on my phone so much if you were paying attention to other people, because he's on his phone, he's on his phone, she's on her phone. Why are you always looking at me? Yeah. And so I always try to contribute it to, like, maybe it's a rank thing. Maybe this person just has more rank than I do, or maybe they, you know, I'm a greenie or I'm the lowest rank on this boat. So I get all of the flack, but like, it's hard to think, like, if this person is my peer, my equal, they're not my boss, they're not below me, we're on the same page, why can't they get away with X, Y, and Z? But I'm always put on front street or I'm blast, like, and I'm like, it's because I'm a girl, or it's because I'm, you know, small, or because I'm, you know, black, or whatever the case may be. And it's hard not to think that when most oftentimes in your life, that tends to be a reoccurring theme. And some people just get to slide under the radar and like climb the ranks and like, you know, usually they're ass kissers in my opinion, but like, yeah, it can be really frustrating and it's hard to think like, is it because I'm different? Hard not to think, is it because I'm different? You know, have you ever had to like really confront someone that was really maybe not giving you credit where credit's due or constantly saying things?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not one to like be afraid of telling people how I feel, but like I always have to like make sure it's the right moment and like the right time so I don't come off like I'm just being someone that has all these opinions. But yeah, I mean, I've definitely stood up for myself. Has that like helped me in the long run in this industry? Maybe not, but like in other places where I've worked, yeah, it's made me seem like I'm trying to like make the group better and not make it, you know, more separated. But for some reason in yachting, it doesn't work that way. Like it just makes it worse.
It seems like in yachting, sometimes you can't be honest fully. Like, and I feel like maybe for people that are the cookie cutter, heterosexual, like white prototype of yachting, that they are allowed to let their guards down and be themselves. And there's no consequences to that. But sometimes when you're different or you're a minority, I feel like you can never really fully like let your hair down and be yourself because you have to have your guard up because, you know, you're already different or you're already standing out and you don't want to bring more attention to yourself. Right. So I find that really interesting. Like, how can you bond with your crew and feel a part of the group if you can't fully be yourself and express yourself naturally?
Oh yeah. And there's people within the crew sometimes where like, they'll get you to put, oh, I don't know, this is like paranoia, but like, they'll get you to like, you'll put your guard down. And then they'll be like all nice to you, but then they'll like run and say all these things about you. I'm just like, well, what, like, how should I trust you? And I live and work with you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
How does that make any sense?
I mean, and if we're in a crisis situation, I'm supposed to save your life, but now I don't trust you.
Right.
How do I know you're going to save my life? And not just be like, bye, totally. I'm out.
Oh God. Yeah.
Oh man. That's happened to me before where I was just getting ratted on left and right. Like, and
that's terrible.
Like, and I couldn't figure out who the mole was, but I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was doing the same thing as everyone else, but everyone, I was new and I was temp. So everyone else had like a tight knit group before I got there. Yeah. So I just, you know, I thought I was just trying to fit in and be a part of the group, but then I was like, and I'm just like,
right.
I can't win with you guys. I really can't. Anyway, the show is not about me right now.
No, I love it.
Should I Venmo you for like a therapy session?
Oh my God. No, but like, I also give out 3 therapies, so it's fine.
I love that. I'm signing up. Have you ever like dated another yachty? And have you ever met other, have you ever worked with any other gay, straight, lesbian yachty? Like, I don't.
I haven't like dated any yachties. I mean, like, I've gone on dates with like, I went on a date like with like one captain, but like, it just wasn't working out because ooh. I don't know. Like, he was very like, I don't know. Hopefully he doesn't see this, but he was very like, okay, so there are gays that like want to be like assimilated with straight people. So they'll act a certain way to like, you know, get into their groups. I'm not really like that because I just can't be anything other than myself.
Yeah.
So like, I think he was just like afraid of like how honest I was with me because he wasn't giving me like very much. I'm like, this isn't going to work out.
Yeah.
And then I have hooked up with like some guys that were curious, but like, that's just like
normal.
Straight guys are always going to do that. They're always going to like say that they're one thing and then they're completely different behind closed doors. So.
No, absolutely.
The answer is no.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I've never dated a captain, so you've gotten further than me. Speaking of, like, so people are like, so are all the like deckhand, like female deckhands, like gay or lesbians? And I'm just like, why? Because they're in like a masculine role, I guess. Doesn't right. mean that you're a lesbian. Like, I don't
exactly.
like people just can. And then if you're on the interior as a male, it doesn't mean you're gay either.
Right.
But people always assume that. Mm-hmm. You know, I've only heard of one yacht that has an all gay crew. But the owner's gay, and I'm like,
which boat is that?
I wish I knew. Someone told me
that. Is that Scout?
I don't know.
It's not Scout, right? Okay.
I don't know, but I need to find it because I want to be on it. But I heard they only hire gay men.
Oh, see, like I've heard of this too. I'm like, where is this boat?
Just a myth. It's a yachting myth.
It might be. It's a legend.
Wishful thinking or something. I also heard of a boat. I'm trying to find it. When I was in the Bahamas. And me and the first mate on this boat were like the only female deck crew. And the dock boy was like, oh, all female deck crew, just like that other boat. And he named this boat where it was just all women, captain, first mate, engineer, all deck, everybody. And I was like, where is it? What's the name? I meant to look it up and I can't find it. So I need to find the gay boat and I need to find the all female boat.
Please. And
I'm just trying to get on it. I'll do whatever it takes.
Right.
Or whoever it takes. Kidding. Totally kidding.
No, it happens. I mean, yeah. I mean, if there's a cute captain or cute mate out there, maybe. But for right now, like, I don't know if I could date someone in the industry right now.
Right.
Because, like, when am I going to see them? Like, never.
Not unless they're on your boat.
Right.
You know?
That's too much. I need space. Like, I need my free time, like,
right.
Leave me alone.
Because then you guys would be forced to share a cabin, because the minute everyone knows that you're dating,
exactly.
then they automatically shove you in a room together. They're like, okay, work it out.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it inevitably falls apart, so.
Oh, I hope not.
So, I know you're on, like, a mini break right now.
COVID.
COVID break. You're quarantined now in Florida.
Yeah,
I was just in quarantine last week because I was out of the country and I was just like, let me be safe. So I put myself in a hotel room. I think it's responsible. So good on you. So
I'm here now in a hotel room, so doing the right thing.
You're doing the right thing. That's the most responsible we can be right now, is just to be like, you know, if I've been traveling or I might have been exposed, I'm just going to put myself in a hotel room and like see where this goes. But you're planning on getting back onto a boat, right?
Yeah, so I'm going back on the boat that I'm on now, which is so it's the first boat I ever like was a guest on, and now I'm actually working on it. So it's like a full circle moment.
I love that.
But yeah, I'm kind of like discouraged by the industry right now. So I have been looking at moving to Brooklyn and starting to work in events. So that could possibly be happening between like April and June. But I still need to like, you know, think this through, and like obviously COVID's happening. It's a major city, and I don't want to like put myself in a place where I could potentially not have a job. But yeah, like that's kind of where my head's at, because I'm just over like what's been happening in the industry, at least to me.
Right. And it's, I'm glad that, you know, this show is allowing people like us to meet and just talk about it, because it's hard having these feelings when you're on a boat, living in close quarters, and not being able to just vocalize where you're at and how you're feeling about this, you know. Mm-hmm. It's, yachting can be isolating already on its own and lonely at times. Yeah. But when you're like going through this, you know, with our political climate as well, just adding on it, and you can't talk to anyone, it's just,
right.
Like, especially if you're on a Trump boat. Like I've been on a Trump boat. So it's like,
I'm so sorry.
At least I had my own cabin where I could just sneak off and cry all the time. But,
right.
You know, it's just like, you don't have anyone to talk to sometimes. And
that's awful.
I think that's what leads to our discouragement, because you don't want to sound like you're complaining. You don't want to sound like you're whining, because a lot of yachties have that just suck it up mentality, or like, you know, you need thicker skin, and all of those are true. To survive on the sea, you definitely need a thick skin and just let things roll off your back. But like, this is a really hard time for a lot of us. And I don't think that that's even being acknowledged or recognized in the industry. And it does seem like there's a lot of like favoritism. I see the same yachties being posted and written about on all the Instagram accounts and Jobs magazine. And I'm just like, okay, like we get it. Like you're the super decky. But it's just, you know, it can make a lot of us feel like left out and like we don't belong here, which I don't think is true at all. So was there anything in particular that happened that discouraged you? Or is it just like not being able to find a permanent gig from time to time, or not getting on the size boat you want or the position you want? Like, what is it?
I think it's just like a whole bunch of like small things that just keep happening. And it's like a behavior within the industry as a whole. I don't think it's just one person or one instance. Cause I think there's a lot of really good people in the industry, a lot of good captains, a lot of great owners that I've worked for, that I've even like kept in contact with them. I like thanked them. I'm like, this has been an amazing experience, you know? But yeah, it's just all these little things that keep happening that wouldn't normally happen to me if I wasn't on, you know, in the yachting world. So for me, I'm like, do I stay here? Do I like make it a better place with like my presence here? Is that meant for me? Or should I just leave and go follow like a place where like I'm gonna fit in better and like be able to succeed, not quicker, but like at a pace that like I'm comfortable with?
Absolutely.
So I think that's kind of where my headspace is.
Yeah. And you're not the first person I spoke to that has the same feeling. I mean, I've never had problems with the owners that I've worked for ever.
Yeah.
And they leave like, you're great. Oh my God, it was so nice to meet you. Can't wait to see you again. And then I'm not offered a permanent contract, but no one has said why. It's just, we're going to the shipyard, or we're going back down to skeleton crew, or whatever it is. And I'm just like, okay, well, if there's a problem with my work, like what is it or whatever? And it's always, no, you're great. But I'm just like, it's hard to figure out like who's going to tell you the truth and who's going to want to invest in you. Like, I think that's all it takes. Like no one is the perfect crew member right from the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you need people to hire you that like don't have any prejudice or bias and want to take you under their wing and want to see you succeed. And I just think with COVID and people running on skeleton crews and this, that, and the other, there aren't many like higher ups out there right now that are investing in people. Maybe it's because there's not a budget, because charters have been canceled because of COVID, or they're just looking for that same prototype of yachty that we see on so many boats. Right. I can't figure it out either. I'm taking a break.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm like my second month now. And I just started applying to jobs like last night. Like, all right, Gabby, yeah. Come on. Got to get back out there.
Get back out there.
Yeah.
But I do agree with what you're saying about the whole, like, not knowing. Like, I've experienced quite a few times where, like, they'll say something, but they're not giving you, like, the full story. Not that they have to tell you everything, you know, obviously, like, I'm a stew deck or, like, a mate. But if it's involving me leaving or not coming back, at least tell me why. Like, don't just leave me, like, wondering. And then now I'm thinking, like, oh, is this because of me? Or did I do something that I don't know that I did? Like, I don't think that's not a lot to ask for, to just tell me, like, the reason why. You won't hurt my feelings. I just get to go with the information and make myself better.
Right, but some people don't want to see us make ourselves better. Some people don't want us here in general. So why would anyone give me a tip that might help me forward my career if they don't think I belong here in the first place? Which is what I've been thinking about since, you know, I took my break, because I'm just like, okay, this is like a mental gymnastics, like trying to read between the lines, trying to be like
terrible.
It's like the passive aggressiveness is on like a 100. The level of petty is like on 1,000. And I just don't, I don't come from that world. You know, I'm not a mean girl. I don't understand that level of passive aggressiveness that tends to be like rampant in this industry, where it's just like, no, everything's fine. You're great.
Right.
And like, so you will toxic. Give up your room, scratching your head at night. Toxic. Yes.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I thought I did a great job today. No one said anything negative, but I can get this vibe that someone's not happy with me, but they won't tell me why.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
I don't get it.
I think your mental health has to be on like a full tank before you get your first job. You have to be sure of who you are, and you have to like be able to ignore ignorant comments and be able to decide like, am I gonna battle this person? Is it worth it? Or is it just gonna make my life harder and make me unhappy? And that's just a lot of things that, you know, being a minority in an industry like this, you have to think about.
Right.
You know? I don't know how competitive you are, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, I find people that are competitive, they're like, no, the more people that put me down, the more motivated I get. I mean, I can be like that if I feel like the return is worth it. But sometimes I'm like, this is just like not good for my mental health in general.
Especially if it keeps happening over and over and over again. You're like, is there going to be like a breaking point where like I start to benefit, or it's just going to continue to get worse? Because I can go somewhere else and like get praise for what I do and like, you know, accomplish things that are going to benefit me in the long run. And also other people around me, if I'm on a team. So like, I don't have to like accept all of this if I don't want to.
Right. And I feel like a lot of yachties do accept abuse, especially if they go into the industry straight out of high school and they just don't know any better and they're very young. And I think that also sets the tone. Like, well, if like when you join the industry later, like we did, you joined at 28, I joined at freaking 31. It's hard to take advantage of me. Like, so if you're gonna offer me below industry standard, I already know. No.
Yeah.
Good. And I will not accept abuse at all. I don't care about rank when it comes to this point. Like, talk to me like you talk to everyone else, or give me a chance to prove myself, but don't like harass or abuse me, because I will not stand for
right.
it. You know?
It's just decency.
Just treat me like a human, and I'm a grown ass woman, so you know, come correct, sir. Thank you. you know, but you know, just even defend, like being assertive sometimes in this industry is perceived as being defiant or insubordinate.
Yeah.
Which what creates this like murky gray area that allows abuse and harassment to slip through the cracks, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But you're
I wish I had an answer for that. I don't know.
I mean, I'm coming to you for the answers. I thought you had all the answers.
Not yet. Give me one more year.
Please stick around. So you're a mate right now, right?
So yeah, it's just me and the captain right now on this boat. So like mate, yeah, but I'm doing like things like on the interior and on the exterior. Helping in the engine room too, like wherever I can. I'm not like, you know, mechanically minded. Like I'm not gonna be like an all-star in that realm, but like if you show me something, I can do it.
Yeah. So like if the captain's off the boat and an alarm goes off, you know where to check and how to turn it off, or
yeah,
you know, exactly. A generator goes out, you know how to turn it back on, stuff like that.
With some advice, yeah, totally.
With Google, YouTube.
Right.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, that's pretty cool.
The goal is to be on the interior. You know, I want to get more into that realm, but it would take like probably a bigger boat and working with like, you know, 3 or 4 people.
Right. Like a full crewed up, like fourth stew, third, second chief and all of mm-hmm. that. So would you be more on the service side because you had a background in hospitality?
Or I prefer service because I like to like plan, you know, events and like dinners and like theme parties. Like I excel in that realm, but yeah, like I'm still okay like doing laundry and like housekeeping, you know. Yeah. I'm not against to like working hard.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, we need to see more male stewards, honestly. Like,
yeah, totally.
Like I wonder if boats turn down males that want to be on the interior just because they're males.
Definitely, like 1,000%.
It seems like some of these clients just want to see hot young chicks serving their cocktails and like doing their laundry.
Right.
It's such an ancient way of like life. It's
weird.
It's so weird. Like, because I prefer to be on deck and like getting my hands dirty. And like you and I are exact opposite in that way, you know?
Right.
Like I know you work on deck too, but like if you had to choose, you would choose interior and I would choose deck. But I keep getting interior mm-hmm. roles.
No one's hiring
me. Yes, I can. I'm like, I'm a switch.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm a switch. Okay. Like I can do both, but I prefer being outside. Like, can we break these gender roles and like heteronormative like standards and just open the industry up a little bit and catch it up with the times? Cause this is getting like, you know, just outdated.
Well, it's also putting the talent where it needs to be. So like if you have a talented deckhand who's on the interior, you're just wasting everyone's time. Like, exactly. Like you would do better outside if you have talent outside. So like, why are you inside?
You know? I really ask myself that question every time I'm, you know, taking out the trash or cleaning a toilet. I'm just like, yes, I'm good at detailing. I can clean, mm-hmm. I can do this, but like my energy and passion isn't shining through.
Right.
Because I would rather be out, like polishing stainless steel outside in the sun, you know?
Yeah.
So like, we gotta like change this. And that's, you know, if everyone that's different, like you, me, Simone, Juno, mm-hmm. just quits every time because.
And like, that's benefiting them, like in what they want, like they, but like,
they.
You know, the toxic environment, the people that like drive that, like that's what they want. That's not everybody in the industry though.
No, it's definitely not.
So I can't.
And I'm living for all of these communities that are popping up, like the Girls on Deck on Facebook. It's like mm-hmm. All female engineers, deckhands, captains in there. Love that. And then we have like a Black Yachty WhatsApp group. And then there's Empowering Women on Deck. Maybe one of us should start an LGBTQIA Facebook group
for bodies. Why not?
That wouldn't be a bad idea. I haven't seen one.
It'd be like 10 people, but let's do it.
Yes, but maybe we would be able to draw more people to the gay people into the industry. Maybe we're just in the closet or just like non-existent, but we don't know because there's no safe space for us to talk about it.
No, like I'm totally down.
Let's start something private, like just a WhatsApp gay yachty group. Okay. We'll start there.
I'm down. I think I know like a few people. So we have like 5 or 6 so far. And then whoever you have, I'll ask.
I only have
them
one.
Too. So, okay. Or one's one. Enough.
Yeah. Us 7 are going to change the world.
All it takes.
Hey, no, seriously, but that's what I love about this show and this this channel is that, like, we're just creating a community, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, because all of the people that have been in the industry for ages and are, you know, straight or white or whatever, they already mm-hmm. have years ahead of us of building a network and a community.
Right.
You know, so I think if anything good comes out of this, it's just starting a community around the globe of different kinds of yachties and people that want to be in maritime, but like can't find any information about it. Like if right. I was from a country where being gay is like punishable by death, I'm not going to go asking like, hey, you know, like if, you know, I would mm-hmm. just, you know, I wouldn't risk my own life. But if there's people out here talking about it, like it could help some people that maybe are not out of the closet be like, okay, maybe I can join and I'll be safe.
You right. know?
Or I'll meet another gay person or the love of my life. I don't know. So, I mean,
hey, why not?
I don't believe in love anymore. I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, it's good to just talk about it. And so I appreciate people definitely. Like you that are super brave to put, you know, your face out there and be like, hey, this is mm-hmm. my experience and this is what's happening. And,
yeah.
And stick with it. Like, and what? Yeah, I said it.
Right.
You know?
So at the end of the day, it's just like a person's truth. And it's not, I didn't come here to like talk bad about anybody, but yeah, like if it's happening to me, I might be strong enough to like deal with it, but there could be people out there that are not strong enough to like, you know, go through all that. So
absolutely.
I don't know. It has to, I mean, I'm coming here with like positive intentions.
Absolutely. Me too. And this industry, I think it's a lot of these things are very hush hush or maybe taboo to talk about because we like people don't want to make the industry look bad, you know?
Right.
And so it's, we're not saying everyone in the industry is homophobic and racist. Like we're not right. saying that. We're just trying to shed light on something that seems to be a little bit of an issue that no one has addressed or not a lot of people talk yeah. about. But the yachting industry isn't this evil corporation that's just like,
right.
you know, like that's not what I'm saying either. There's so many benefits into being in yachting and it is life mm-hmm. enriching in so many ways. And I just want everyone definitely. To be able to experience this if that's the course they choose, you know,
yeah.
so the doors have to be open and the path needs to be paved for different types of people, which is all, you know, we're trying to say.
Definitely. Right? I agree.
All right. Well, before we wrap this up, do you want to tell me what you love about yachting?
I mean, I do love the people. Like, I've met some amazing people. I have a lot of friends in the industry now. It's only been a year and a half, so, like, that has been really nice. Also, like, being able to save money, you know, because you're not paying rent, you're not paying for food, like, hardly ever. So, yeah, there are a lot of benefits, too. I mean, and then yeah. traveling, like, obviously, duh.
Of course. Yeah. For me, it's, like, waking up and looking out your porthole, if you have one, and being like,
yeah.
wow, like I'm living on a $20 million yacht in the middle of the Caribbean right now. That's pretty awesome. Like, you know, for some of us,
it is a lot of fun.
Unlike you being a guest on a yacht, some of us would probably never see these places or step foot
yeah.
on any property that costs that much money. So it's just like right. opening doors to see a different side of like life that you might
life, exactly.
see. And I, you know, I really love that. And some people are great. I've met some of my best friends now in yachting. Mm-hmm. So there's so many perks and benefits and,
yeah.
you know, I hope you stick around because it would be great to work with you one day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what I decide. So
keep me posted. I'll stay tuned.
I will.
And don't be
awesome.
A stranger. Everyone, thank you for tuning into Yachting International Radio, Diversity in Yachting again. This is our lovely guest, Joey. Yay. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Of course.
Stay tuned for next week's episode with me, your host, Gabriella. And that's it. Thank you, everyone.